Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, Las Vegas and Singapore Casino has hired a law firm to conduct a new investigation into employee transfers of more than $1 billion in gamblers' money to third parties. UOB is looking to cut costs as a result of COVID-19, and Singapore is shaping up as an attractive hub for China's tech heavyweights. These are some of the key headlines that Chanyaporn Chancharoon, reporter at Bloomberg, has been tracking very closely, and she's joining us on the line now to share more. Chanya, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rachel, for having me.
So first, let's start off with the story that you covered on Las Vegas Sands here in Singapore, because the casinos hired a law firm to conduct a new investigation into employee transfers. And this it's no small change, is it really? It's $1 billion that we're talking about. So what do we know about the funds and where they went?
Absolutely right, Rachel. These transfers, they happened between 2013 and 2017, and they were executed by Marina Bay Sands employees using documents known as letters of authorization. I have to say that such transactions, when done properly, take place when patrons endorse transfers of funds from their own accounts to third parties. But with regards to the cases mentioned in our story, we don't know who the third parties were. Also, I'd like to add that it is not uncommon here in Asia for gamblers to go for rounds of gambling in groups at various places, and they pool winnings and losses at different casinos. It became a cause of concern here when the investigations showed that a number of these letters of authorizations, they were pre-signed by patrons, photocopied, used in multiple transfers, but original copies were destroyed. These are according to the probes. And to be sure, Marina Bay Sands also told us that when issues regarding the handling of clients' transfers were raised, the company thoroughly reviewed the matter. MBS also concluded that no clients' funds were transferred, and I'm quoting MBS here, in a manner that was contrary to the client's intent.
Is this the first time something like this has happened?
We do not know for a fact what happened before the period, because the transfers took place between 13 and 2017. And don't forget that casino operations in Singapore, they started in the past decade only.
So what's happening next then, Chanyaporn? What will you be following up next for this story?
I can only say that I'm trying my best to get more.
Okay, so let's take a look at another headline that you've been closely monitoring. And speaking of funds being transferred, obviously this is a very different angle, but UOB has imposed a freeze on pay, promotions and hiring as it prepares for further decline in earnings. It's according to an article that you published last week. How will each of the 19 markets UOB operates in be affected?
UOB operates in so many markets in Southeast Asia and also in North Asia. According to the UOB document that we based our story on, these measures are for the entire group, so it's a company-wide measure. It is reassuring, though, that the bank said it will continue investing in its people and hiring for roles essential for UOB's strategic priorities. Also, the bank has said before, I think around April, that it will keep jobs, just like the other two Singapore banks. And there has been no indication of any changes so far. So that's the good news.
Okay, and what kind of earnings contraction are we looking at for the lender, and how does this compare to its peers?
I'd just like to set the context here that commercial banks around the world are being hit by the virus pandemic, and so many have seen declining profit. For UOB, based on the latest forecast, using a consensus of 16 analysts that we tracked, full-year net income could fall to about 2.9 billion Singapore dollars this year, and that would be a 29% drop from a year ago. We are expecting quite similar outcome for 2020 for the other two banks, OCBC and DBS. Not too much different, Rachel.
Okay, we're speaking to Chanyaporn Chancharun, reporter at Bloomberg. And now, while some sectors are implementing hiring freeze and a pay freeze, cutting back, a number of tech giants are actually looking to expand in Singapore. And you recently reported that ByteDance is looking to make Singapore its beachhead for the rest of Asia. What kind of investment and scale are we looking at?
Our sources told us that in terms of investments in Singapore, that's going to be several billions US dollars over 3 years. And job additions to the tune of several hundred jobs. Mm. So that's good for Singapore. And ByteDance already employs some 400 people here.
I see. So why Singapore?
Great question. We are a major financial hub and particularly appealing to Chinese firms like ByteDance or Ant Financial. Mandarin is used here. We have the rules of law, ease of doing business, and other infrastructure that is so very ready. Plus, the allure of low corporate tax rates is always here. And there are also many international firms that base their Asia-Pacific headquarters in Singapore. So it's a perfect location.
Chanyaporn, ByteDance has applied for a digital bank license from the Monetary Authority of Singapore, as have Ant Group and Tencent-backed C Limited. How do you see this shaking up the digital banking landscape here?
The central bank, the Monetary Authority of Singapore, will make that decision on the five groups that will be awarded the licenses for digital bank by December. So I don't want to jump the gun here. But to be fair, the power of digital banking has already been obvious in Singapore even before newcomers. I mean, you can see from the circuit breaker period where people like us can manage our banking and finance transactions, buy stocks, insurance, and handle many other things via digital banks at existing banks, or via digital channels at existing banks. MAS also has made it very clear that they want to see more competition in Singapore, where non-bank technology firms can use the power of non-traditional data to improve banking services. Just think of how data can help these firms make quick credit assessment and distribute loans faster and also in a cheaper way than what brick and mortar banks do. It's going to be an interesting space.
Definitely interesting space, and it's interesting times. Chanyaporn, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Rachel. Good to be with you.
We've been speaking with Chanyaporn Chancharun, reporter at Bloomberg, here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.